Under the word dramaturgy in Wikipedia, before the note, the definition of the dramaturgy starts, there is a note saying, for a meaning of this word in sociology, see dramaturgy, in brackets, sociology. When you click on that link, what appears is a very decent wiki entry, 10 times the length of the entry dramaturgy in terms of theatre, which describes the notion of dramaturgy in sociology and talks mainly about the work of Erwin Goffman, who forms a theatrical metaphor in defining the method in which one human being presents itself to another based on cultural values, norms and expectations. Now, we could go down the line of arguing that we need to change the wiki entry for the notion of dramaturgy so that it includes a more, to say the least, accurate definition of the word, let alone more comprehensive, etc. But maybe we should take cue from the Wikipedia perception of the word dramaturgy and observe the notion that general public is more interested in the way dramaturgy operates in terms of human relations and communication. I feel the urgency of the following question. Why would we want to delineate the role of the dramaturg when what is so sexy about the role of the dramaturg is precisely that it is a non-disciplinary role, a role that simply does not fit within the categories of classifications of jobs, if you wish, but reveals a rupture in our thinking about classification and categorization. The role of the dramaturg problematizes the idea of classification of roles, and that is why we are interested in it. So if I may, and this is a totally utopian vision, obviously, but I will nevertheless argue for it, in the words of Marx, the role of the dramaturg for me is the opportunity for a man to do one thing today and another tomorrow. To hunt in the morning, fish in the afternoon, rear cattle in the evening, criticise after dinner. A society towards which we should strive should provide individuals who live within it to completely develop their potentials through different ways. And I'm not trying to bury the idea of the dramaturg. I'm aware of the very practical need for its existence. So dramaturg as a midwife, you know, with kind of the image of Socrates who is facilitating the production of meaning, pointing to contradictions, helping reveal what is hidden. But I'm wondering whether in the popular perception, under the influence of new technologies and for the general audience, we need an updated version of the notion so that it would attract interest outside of the field of our own practice. Also that theatre studies or performance studies or dance studies could reclaim it somehow back from sociology, as I mentioned before, because it came to sociology anyway as a theatre metaphor originally. Now, I believe that it is precisely technological advances that will help provide material conditions for this utopia to be realised. And I perceive the dramaturg in the context of those technologies that we have at our disposal that were not available to us literally 10 years ago. And by not available, I mean that not enough people were using them, actually. And I also do not want to place too much burden on the idea that technological advances change our perception on certain notions, but that material conditions and conceptual productions are interrelated, that one influenced the other and back. So this post-Fordist flexibility reflects in the notion of the dramaturgy, and the notion of dramaturgy reflects this post-Fordist flexibility. Now, to narrow down the topic that interests me most further, and that's the question of how do social and cultural conditions influence the position of the dramaturg, I would like to take a particular look at the question of how does development and the increase in the use of social networks and mobile technology, especially since mobile technology is connected with the internet, influence our understanding of the notion of the dramaturg or of the idea of what dramaturgy is. Now, a social network is a social structure made of individuals or organisations called nodes, which are tied, connected by one or more specific types of interdependency, such as friendship, kinship, common interest, financial exchange, dislike, sexual relationships, relationships of beliefs, knowledge, or prestige. The resulting graph-based structures are often very complex. There can be many kinds of ties between the nodes. Research in a number of academic fields has shown that social networks operate on many levels, from families up to the level of nations, and play a critical role in determining the way problems are solved, organisations are run, and the degree to which individuals succeed in achieving their goals. Now, obviously, internet did not invent social networks, as you can see it already from these definitions, but internet did influence the way they're formed and maintained. So what I mean here is not social networks in general, but social network sites such as Facebook, Flickr, Twitter, FriendFeed, Jaiku, YouTube, etc. Dana Boyd claims that what makes social network sites unique is not that they allow individuals to meet strangers, but rather that they enable users to articulate and make visible their social networks. Now, I'm aware of the fact that I'm threading on a fine line here. It is my guess that most of you, and most intelligent people in general, experience Facebook as an absolute nuisance, with photos of your high school friends who you didn't care about then, and now you care even less, with online games such as Farmville, Mafia Wars, or other pastimes such as tests revolving around which type of cheese or llama you are, etc. And it is for the most part an incredibly idiotic service. However, as with all services, there are ways to use them intelligently and to get the best out of them. Now, Dana Boyd, that I mentioned before, she developed a classification of properties of social network sites. Basically, the implication of this classification on the notion of dramaturgy revolved for me around two things. First is, I argued that social network sites could be used as a dramaturgical tool for the development of a performance because they could contribute to a more collective practices of decision-making. And second, I'm interested in performance, theatre and dance pieces happening through the use of these social network sites and what that does to the idea of a performance, theatre or dance piece and to the idea of the role of the dramaturg. One of the things that are interesting or key for social media and the way it operates is persistence. So social media by default isn't as ephemeral as performances. It is about producing traces. What you say sticks around. All communication is basically recorded and archived. And now this is great for asynchronicity, which means that, for instance, you know, somebody posts something at that moment, and you read this article, and you don't really have anything to say in that moment. But then, sort of, you know, a couple of days later, you know, something happens the way that life usually happens, the synchronicities, and then you kind of think, oh, actually, that's an interesting thought. So then you go back to it, and then you comment on it, and the moment you comment on it, it climbs up on the list of stuff that people are commenting, you know. You have this time space that you don't normally have in a discussion, that, for instance, here, you know, this sort of aha moment which always happens, like, you know, somebody asks you a question and you kind of go, oh, fuck, I've got no idea, you know, and then like 5 hours later you go, oh yeah, I should have said that, you know, why didn't I say that? So this kind of time expansion somehow contributes to it, but this is also great for people who are perhaps more shy in terms of articulating their, you know, what they're trying to say, because sometimes, you know, usually in discussion, the person who dominates is the person, you know, who's outspoken and open and who doesn't have problem with presentation. And this, in this kind of tools, you know, it's sort of easier to kind of, you don't feel so exposed as you feel, well, possibly physically. I mean, okay, this depends. I mean, some people feel more exposed when they're writing, so that's kind of a different thing. So, in a way, we're back in the era of the text, except the text is understood in a very different way. And I'm obviously not talking about a dramatic text or play or drama. And it's not even restricted to mean a series of words. It could be a photo, a video, a drawing, a graph, all of these things you can say or share. So, in a way, using social media in the production of a dance or theatre piece disturbs that notion of ephemerality. Now, the second key notion related to social media is replicability, which means that you can copy and paste conversation from one medium to another, adding to the persistent nature of it. And this is, of course, great for being able to share information. This possibility of arranging, you know, sort of collecting the material and then thinking about it later, which you can't do with a dance performance, obviously, because even if you take like a little video of it, obviously it's not the same thing because it has the, you know, the frame and the angle and, you know, all of this stuff. Then another issue is also social dependency, and that issue only becomes obvious once you actually deactivate your Facebook account. So you don't erase only your own contribution to the network, you erase everybody else's comments on your contribution. And it has incredible socially disturbing potential that has actually wider consequences than I could have imagined. And emotionally it's quite disturbing, because the archives, you know, that you have set up before, they create the idea that this is a field of knowledge that you can access any time, and that it's there, and it provides a kind of, you know, emotional and social and psychological, if you wish, safety, that, you know, this is a part of your history that will not get lost. But then it does, in a click. And then also another thing interesting is scalability, that social media scales things in new ways. So for instance, conversations that were intended for just a friend or two friends might spiral out of control and scale to a much larger group. But then also there is delocatability. And then the different dynamics that have been reconfigured as a result of social media. So these are exactly what I was saying, invisible audiences, you know, because in a performance you are more or less able to assess the kind of audiences that watches you. But this social media introduces all sorts of invisible audiences, and there are lurkers that you cannot see and that you don't know whether they're accessing what you're doing or not. And you are basically having to present yourself and communicate without fully understanding the potential of the actual audience. The second thing, dynamics, is also to do with collapsed context. And social media brings all of these contexts crashing into one another, and it's often difficult to figure out what's appropriate, let alone what can be understood. And then the final thing, which is kind of the only thing that gets mentioned in terms of, in relation to Facebook, is this blurring of public and private. And these distinctions are much harder to manage when you have to contend with the shifts in how the environment is organised. I would like to finish with another utopia, which in my experience isn't utopistic at all. For me, the dramaturgical ideal is when dramaturgy is unguided and impersonal or unpersonalised, when it becomes a process rather than a function or involvement restricted to a particular person, and when the performance grows organically and almost imperceptibly out of the relations and preoccupations of the people involved. That doesn't mean, and I can't emphasise that strong enough, that this non-utopistic utopia will make those involved any more happy than they were with a conventional notion of the dramaturg, because utopia, contrary to popular belief, is not about happiness, neither it is about freedom.